Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I'm your host, Michael Parks. And hold on a minute. I do believe Lance Bully, are you on the phone?
Hey, how's it going, Michael Parks? It's your boy Lance Bully here, live with everybody here, Pro Wrestling Alliance. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, bro. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, everybody. This is our first show tonight. It's an exciting night for us. I got Lance the Bully on the phone, and tonight we're going to talk about promoting independent wrestling. We're going to talk about some shows that have gone on, and we're just going to pick the brain of Lance. We're going to talk about our upcoming show on August 18th at De La O's Jiu-Jitsu Dojo, and we're just gonna roll with it tonight. We just want to get out there, want everybody to hear about us. You know, we're the PWA Pacific Wrestling Alliance, and we just want to start this off right. So, Lance, how you been, man?
I have been well, brother. I've had an awesome weekend, a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of work, and you know, so it's that perfect mix of this and that. Shout out to Dream Slam Wrestling. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's where I was this Friday. Dream Slam Wrestling. You can see some of the hottest action. It was a collaboration show, meaning a bunch of companies came together to make this vision happen, and it was a success. I had fun.
Oh, wow.
Besides that, I had a little bit of work.
Where was that at? Where was it located at?
It was located in Santa Ana. I believe it was the Blue Lot, which is a mural corner somewhere in downtown Santa Ana. It's really right in downtown Santa Ana by the Yost Theater, if you're familiar with the area. But it was great. It had a bunch of high-caliber matches. The main event was killer. The semi was even fire. I mean, I don't know where to start, man. From top to bottom, it was a good show.
Well, let me know who are some of the wrestlers that wrestled that night, and we can just get into it.
Okay, no problem. Let's start with one of my favorite matches. After watching everything, you know, I decided the semi was my favorite. It was high action. It was very fast, hard-hitting between Wicked Wicket, Eli Everfly, a vegan Superman. And you just can't miss this action, ladies and gentlemen. All four of them were, like, running in the ring, out of the ring, all around the ring. It's that high spot Lucha Libre action, you know, everybody comes to see. So I was very impressed with the work. Of course, whenever you have Eli Everfly in the ring, he's always delivering the top quality in his moves. Paradox is somebody that I haven't seen recently. I saw Paradox last October, almost a year ago. And that guy's coming out of San Diego, but he's a twisted son of a gun. He's crazy, like literally crazy. He's one of those guys that puts his body on the line just for a nice flip. And it pays off sometimes, and sometimes he's got a big ouch on his head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so this was an awesome four-way, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries, man. Just everything was great. Like I said, the card from top to bottom. I got to see Honest John go up against Mikey O'Shea. Those are two great guys. Yeah, exactly right. It's two different dynamics. So it was very interesting to see them go at it. Shout out to Ty Ray. I haven't seen Ty Ray in years as well, and he has not. No, there's no rush. You can't tell. He don't even got no wrinkles on the man's face. You know what I mean? He's still crisp and clean and very mean. So shout out to Ty Ray. He took on Eddie Roar, and that was an amped up wrestling match. You know, so they sponsored that one. But the big bad main event that everyone came to see was SoCal Crazy going up against the Dream Slam wrestling champion, Vito Fratelli.
Oh, man. Well, hey, you know we know Vito very well because he main evented our first show, and I mean he put on one heck of a show. So how did that go?
It went just how you thought it would go. Do you know much about SoCal Crazy?
Oh, not really. I've met him, and I just found out that he found out about our next show and may want to work with us, which is a feather in our cap because the things I've heard about SoCal Crazy is he's an amazing guy and an amazing wrestler.
Yes, SoCal Crazy is a legend in the California Lucha Libre wrestling scene in general. He was fighting colon cancer, He beat colon cancer, and now he's back in the ring.
Oh, wow.
So, you know Vito don't give a damn about any of that.
Oh,
you know
no,
Vito don't give a damn.
Vito
ain't going to give him no sympathy chop. He ain't going to give him no stop spots, nothing. But
no.
At the same time, so-called crazy is so dang fast. Vito couldn't even get a grip on him most of the time. Most of the time, so-called was rolling and spinning. Yeah, it looked like, you ever seen Flubber? You know, back in the 90s, a little green ball. That's what SoCal was looking like, just bouncing around the ring. Innovative stuff I've never seen before, and this man has still got it. So a big shout-out to him. Big shout-out to Vito. It was one of those matches that has to be done again because, unfortunately, it was a time limit match, and it was resulted in a draw due to the time limit. But if we could have just got 5 more minutes, man, like that was very great action. I loved it.
Wow. Well, let's. Speaking of Vito, you know he won the championship last night at
WWE.
Yeah, man, that's a big feather in his cap, man. You know, I've seen Big Vito, you know, when he was wrestling with Cayenne at Lucha Libre Alliance, and I used to tell our friend Favi, hey, man, I like this guy. This guy's something else. And then he got into doing a whole lot of lucha and, you know, going down to Mexico. And you know, from being at our show, you know, he puts on a show and he brings it. And if you don't bring it like he does, he's going to bring it out of you or he's going to make you look sad.
And, yeah, you're going to forget about it.
exactly. To me, Vito is a consummate professional. He knows what needs to be done in the ring and how it needs to be done. And, you know, because, again, he's wrestling some Lucha legends right now, bro. So he's out there and he's still learning and trying to pass it on to everybody else. And I like the fact that, you know, Venue has seen what he has and decided to put the belt on him. Because he can carry that company. He can carry any company, to tell you the truth. What do you think?
Yes, Vito. Vito has the potential to hold down any company, and he has held down multiple companies at once. He has got actually an opportunity for some more gold. What is it? Next Saturday, I'm sorry. Did you hear about this? Vito Fratelli is going to be in Relentless Pro Wrestling's King's Ransom. It's going to be a singles elimination style tournament, 8 participants. So they're all heavyweight guys, about the same size as Vito. You know, we're not going to have any little butterflies in the ring. Just a bunch of meat hitting meat. And this is another opportunity for Vito to come home with another heavyweight championship, this one being dubbed the inaugural SoCal Heavyweight Championship. And this tournament is brought to you by Relentless Pro Wrestling. It's going to be next Saturday. So this could be a really good streak for Vito. You know, he maintained his Dream Slam Heavyweight Championship Friday. He won the Venue Entertainment Heavyweight Championship Saturday. And maybe next Saturday he can add another SoCal Heavyweight Championship belt to his roster. How's that sound?
Hey, man, that would mean that everybody would have to come after Vito because he's going to have all the gold, which means everybody, if you're listening, you better step up your game. Because Vito's on the rampage, and he's taking everybody's chains and taking everybody's belts. So you better be ready when you get in the ring with Vito Fratelli. Now, let's segue into our show, Friday night, August 18th at 6 p.m. at De La O's Jiu-Jitsu Training Center. Our main event is Guerrero Nuclear versus AJ Mana. That's going to be one hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah, these men are going to slug it out. This is not going to be a competition. It's going to be decimation. You know what I'm saying? These guys, yeah, they're respectful in the business, but at the end of the day, they're both going to do whatever it takes to get that win. They're going to strong arm one another. They might powerhouse one another. You know what I mean? When it's two big men like that, I can only imagine the hormones, the testosterone running through the both of them as they're trying to prove who's the real upper dog. Because that's going to determine the new number one contender, am I correct?
Exactly, because, you know, they're both really physical guys. And yeah. when you get two guys that can go and that are very physical, you're looking at a power keg of a match. And I, you know, I believe we got one, and it's gonna burn the house down. Our semi-main is going to be Honest John versus Guy Cool. I've been waiting to see Honest John at one of our shows, and when Favi said, let's put him up against Guy Cool, I said, you know what? That's a match and a half, brother. Let's get it going. Let's put it together. Mm-hmm. And we got it, man. So what do you think about that match?
What do I think? I think Honest John's going to do some honest work and get Guy Cool to stop treating his business like a party, like it's a game, you know? Like, bring some integrity back to wrestling, I believe, is the best intent. But who knows what's going to be on the card for us, ladies and gentlemen? Because in all honesty, maybe Guy Cool is going to be cooler than everyone else, but maybe not tonight. Or maybe not when it comes down to the 18th of August. I'm sorry.
Hey, well, you know, he's got a Guy Cool's got a little chip on his shoulder, you know. He's the party man. So that's what he's known for, and that's what he's trying to bring to everybody. You know, basically he's saying nobody can touch his vibe. We'll see if Honest John can do that. Our third match, or our third semi-main, is going to pit Legacy against Rickster. Now this might tear the house all the way down. Because these two guys can go. I love Rickster's energy. And the last time we saw Legacy, he was in one heck of a battle with Mike Check. What do you think about this match?
What do I think about this match? Oh, my goodness. Let me just say one thing. If Legacy was an animal, he would be part of my stable, the Beast of War, ladies and gentlemen, because he is one of the top-tier Lucha Libres out there to this day. Yeah, you heard it right, ladies and gentlemen. If Legacy was an animal, he would be in the Beast of War. Because that is how skilled, how talented. That's how confident I am behind this guy going in and smacking around Rickster. Rickster's big. Rickster's bad. You got to remember, your show's going to be taking place at the home of OCCW, and Rickster just happens to be the OCCW champion. So I don't think he's going to want to be smacked around by Legacy, but I think Legacy might have to smack Rickster around and remind him why he's a legacy of Superboy.
I like that. Lance, I know you like to heal a lot, so I hope and pray that this match brings to everybody what we're wanting it to, and that is to be one of the most electrifying matches on this card itself. We also have Rulo Ram, Azriel, Kayam, JBD, Prince Purer, Louie, and we just had a match get brought to our attention.
Yes.
Mr. California said he wanted to get his hands on somebody. He didn't care what had to be done. He said, just find me somebody. I need to be on this show. So in the near future, we're going to let everybody know who Mr. California is going to butt heads with. Because, like I said, he's frothing at the mouth. He's like, man, I got to be on this show. I got to prove to people that haven't seen me just who I am. And I'm hoping that whoever we picked for Mr. California's opponent pulls everything Mr. California got out of him. Because Mr. California, you got a reputation of being hardcore. We got to put somebody in there with you that can go just as hard as you can. To see if you are who you say you are. What do you say, Lance?
Hey, I can totally not sympathize, but I can relate with Mr. California. He's a hungry dog that needs to be fed, you know. And when I feel disrespected that you wouldn't hit up a hardcore legend like Mr. California on your show, so you had to invite himself to the show. So I really hope that you're able to bring someone hardcore, because if it's not enough for the hardcore enforcer himself, Mr. California, you might need to be added to that plate of all the people he's going to be taking down that night, because you're going to have to think about it. You think he's going to go against any little cheapskate? You're going to put him up against any sucker, any rookie? He's going to get eaten alive. You better
easy, bully. No. Mr. California don't want none of this. He don't want none of this. We'll find somebody that he can match up with. He might be hungry, but he's not that hungry to come up against me.
Hey, well, I was just speaking through Mr. Kaufman. Let me stop and say, you know, the words of Lance Winters do not reflect Lance Winters, you know. I'm a very emotional person between the hours of 7 o'clock and 9:30. So anything I say, it's just a mania, you know. WrestleMania is coming up in 9 months, you know. It's on the back of my head, the front of my mind, you know. So with all due respect, I'd like to say I cannot wait for this stacked card that you just announced. And I can't wait even more to find out who Mr. California is going to go up against.
Yeah, very soon everybody will know. And I'm very happy to have him on our show, so that he can show everybody from the PWA just what he's got. So, Lance, I hear the passion in your voice. I hear the passion oozing from you about the business. What brought you in? What made you love pro wrestling, Lance?
So I grew up in a house that was very, you know, I came up from a very wealthy family that came off very well, but nobody in my house really enjoyed the arts of wrestling. So that was one of those things I had a closet for a long time. You know, I always enjoyed watching wrestling growing up in the 90s or 2000s. I literally grew up in the Attitude Era, so that's what I thought wrestling was, you know, and that was very powerful to me, you know, the stories and the emotions behind everything. And I decided I needed to find a way to get into it, you know, so I've always been a fan of photography. That's always been my little segue into anything in life, starting from high school, going through college. So when I first put the pieces together and looked up indie wrestling in Orange County, I found OCCW, Orange County Championship Wrestling. So I sent a message to John De La O and said, hello, this, that, here's my story. I'd love to come over and shoot in your glory, you know, do some photography work. The man asked me if I went to school. He asked me if I did any training. I told him, yes, I just did 2 years at OCC, you know, that's Orange Coast College. And
right.
I told him that I was on the track team. I didn't understand what he meant. I didn't know he was talking about, have I been trained in the business? Did I go to wrestling school? And I had not at this point. But I had such a great voice. I had such a great time communicating with him. He decided to give me a chance. With that opportunity, the whole first 6 years or 6 months of my career, well, already feel old. First 6 months of my career, I was doing photography for Orange OCCW while also doing segments on the shows. It was kind of like a Piper's Pit segment, you know, just 2 minutes talking to the main event, either guy, whether the champion or challenger, get the crowd a little hot. And that's kind of where Bully Zone was kind of forming its own identity, you know. We always like to wear suits so everyone can tell us apart when we're in the crowd from these marks. But at the same time, we love and respect these marks. It's a very weird dichotomy, you know. Bully Zone has grown and it's got a little sophisticated over the years. And yeah, I don't know, man. Since that opportunity, I was able to go to a wrestling show in my own city, which was OCCW.
Right.
It took me up to the city of Los Angeles where I was able to work for Amped Up Wrestling.
All right.
That opportunity took me more northeast, all the way to the high desert, where I got an opportunity with Destination Six. And ever since then, in between, I've been going up and down the coast. I've been to San Diego for promotions. I'm still trying to go a little more north than Los Angeles. I would love to go to the San Francisco area, the Bay, as they say. That's my next milestone, I guess, because I've been in Orange County, Los Angeles, San Diego. Now I just need to go all the way down to Mexico and then go all the way back up California to the Bay, and I'll have my California checklist complete. But
yeah, go ahead.
This business is not a race. This business is not something you want to rush through. You want to enjoy it. You want to take your time and really do the right thing. And let me emphasize that for anybody listening right now, at home, on your podcast, wherever you are. It's very important you make the right decisions. Don't act as if people aren't watching you, because people you don't know are watching you.
All
you know
time.
What I mean? So if you're professional and you're honest, you'll have a great time in this business. If you want to lie to me or lie to yourself, which is the most crucial one, is lying to yourself more than lying to anybody else, those things will catch up to you, and you will not have a long future in the business. So that's my little story and my little piece of advice to anybody who's interested in the business.
Yeah, because, you know, the first time I ever saw you was when you were taking photos at the the VA, the veteran spot over there in Los Al.
Okay. Yes.
I can't. I don't remember the lodge number, but that's where I first saw you. And actually, the funny thing is, that was the first time I had been back to see a live wrestling match and seen King Favi for over 15 years. So the same time I got back in contact with him was the first time I saw you as well. Give you a little background on me. I became a pro wrestling fan all the way back in 1977. Back home in Joliet, Illinois, I was flipping through the channels and ended up on a channel where I saw Dick the Bruiser versus Big Cat Ernie Ladd. And I couldn't stop watching it. And from that point on, I watched wrestling endlessly. The first live event I went to, there was a organization called the AWA, American Wrestling Association. Mr. Vern Gagne was the owner, and they ran in the Midwest, and they ran every month in Chicago at the what's now called the Allstate Arena, used to be called the Rosemont Horizon. And that was the first show I ever went to. It was April of 1984. And on that show, I saw Nick Bockwinkel, the Fabulous Ones, Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher, Jerry Blackwell, Rick Martel. I mean, legends in the business. And I look back now, and like, dude, I saw legends when they were doing it. I used to come out here in the summertime, and I would go to the matches. I went to two Great American Bashes that was put on by the National Wrestling Alliance. Dusty Rhodes, Magnum PA, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson. You know, you're talking the Four Horsemen and the Risky Business Boys that you sat back and you watched on PBS and on your local channels. And I'm sitting front row watching these guys, and just it was like that was my world. You know, the first time I ever saw Andre the Giant was at the Olympic Auditorium. And back then, you know, the locker rooms at the Olympic were underground. So the guys had to walk upstairs. And back then there were no pyro, there was nothing like that. They just had a spotlight, and all the lights in the arena the arena was dark, and the spotlight hits where the dressing room is, and there's a curtain at the bottom of the stairs, and you see the curtains open up, you see light, and then you just see this humongous silhouette. And as he comes up the stairs, all you saw was his hair. You know, Andre had this, he just looked like a big afro. And to see him live and to see him from where I was sitting was like, dude, this is a mountain. This is a human mountain walking up these stairs and walking to the ring. Holy cow. And it was just, I would go to the mall and buy wrestling magazines, and me and my friends would read them. I mean, and watch NWA, watch World Class, watch Championship Wrestling from Georgia. My best friend's brother-in-law used to videotape the WWF shows that came on Madison Square Gardens Network. You know, they used to have live cards that they showed on cable TV from Madison Square Gardens, from the Philadelphia Spectrum. And, you know, these were just stacked cards. It wasn't a pay-per-view. It was just cards that they had throughout the week. And, bro, Lance, I wish you could have been back there in that time in the 80s and saw just how powerful pro wrestling really was, because it was a part of the mainstream lifestyle, man. It really was. So that's a little background on me and my passion for this business. So.
And I love to hear that, man, because I'm always, whenever I have the chance to talk to somebody older than me, and, you know, and I'm sitting under that learning tree, and they're telling me about the good old days of wrestling, whether it was the 90s or 80s, I get a little nerdy, you know, I get excited because it's true. I think wrestling in the 80s and the 90s is a lot more different than how it is today in the 2000s and up to the 2020s. Big change in the culture, big change in how things operated behind the scenes, just the whole picture. That's probably one of my top wishes. If I had a genie in a bottle, I'd wish to take me back to the good old territory days of wrestling and see what that was all about. I know it wasn't all perfect, but there's got to be a lot of things different than how they are today.
Oh, man.
And just you telling me about having all that product, having all those stacked cards at Madison Square Garden and all these grand venues, you know, like that's something beautiful to dream about. That's something I'd want to bring back again, you know, high attendance and making it part of the pop culture. You want to go to the movies, the club, or you want to go to wrestling tonight? That's what I want to hear on the weekends.
That's, you know, and that's what I would like to bring back. You know, it is just wrestling back then, you know, every Monday night down in Memphis, Tennessee, Jerry Lawler used to run matches at the Mid-South Coliseum every Monday night. So it wasn't always packed, but you think about it. Every Monday night, this man is getting 5, 6, 7, sometimes 11, 12,000 people to come out every single Monday night, Lance, to come see wrestling. He innovated some of the most important angles in all of professional wrestling. Like, you have to go back and look at his angle with Andy Kaufman. That angle got so big that it went to the David Letterman show, man. I remember when it came on back in 1982. And if you saw that, the episode of The Dark Side of the Ring, when they talked about it, it blew my mind how that angle blew up. You know, and it was just, It was something that caught the eye of the guys up in New York, that they had to bring this small town wrestling company from Memphis, Tennessee, up to New York City and put them on national TV because of what they did.
Yes.
And it was just crazy.
That's a true testament to the work that, you know, if you're willing to put in, the capital gains are almost endless, or they'll definitely replicate more than twice, you know. And it really is a hometown hero story, you know, or whatever kind of show you want to talk about, the American dream, you know, where you start something up and you finally get recognized and then you blow up even more than you're already blowed up, but you already got more eyes on you, you know. I feel like that's the goal of everybody. And the best way to do that is by putting on good, consistent product. Like you said, every Monday he was having asses and seats. And excuse me for my language, I'm getting excited again. I'll let you talk.
No, it's okay, because again, it's the passion that you have for this business, and you wouldn't talk like that if you didn't love it. You know what I mean? And so you don't have to. There's no excuse. There's nothing wrong with having that kind of passion. You know, I say all the time, I want to bring back the territory system. I would love to be a part of the territory system, where we send you guys for 2-3 months and you send us guys that haven't been seen out here. And we're sending you guys that you haven't seen because they haven't traveled out that way. And all it's doing is it's benefiting the wrestlers and it's benefiting the companies. You know, back in the day, Eddie Graham was the owner of Championship Wrestling from Florida. And, you know, his main guy was Dusty Rhodes. Well, when Dusty started getting stale, Eddie Graham would call Vince McMahon Sr. and say, hey, I want to send Dusty up that way to you, you know, for a month, 2 months, whatever, you know, just so the fans can start missing him again. And so what ended up happening was he sent Dusty up to New York, and he had some of the most memorable matches against superstar Billy Graham at the Madison Square Gardens that, I mean, if you go back and you look at those matches, it the excitement, the buzz, the tension in Madison Square Gardens on those nights can't even be touched now. If you go back and you just see how the fans reacted to these two titans in the ring, almost similar in how they came across. You know, both talk jive, both of them can relate to everybody. You know what I mean? But you know, Superstar was the big heel, and you know, Big Dust had became a baby face in 1974, and he never went back to being a heel.
Yeah,
he was a baby face from 74 on, and I mean, dude, if you go back and you look at his first initial match with Superstar Billy Graham at Madison Square Gardens, and watch how that crowd reacts. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you would think Muhammad Ali was in the ring because they went crazy. They went crazy. So yeah, you gotta when you have some time, you gotta check those things out, bro, because you know you'll get a sense of, man, I wish it was like this again, because it was just so. It was so real, you know, and wrestling's lost its kayfabe. You know, everybody's pulled the curtain back and is exposed so much that, you know, I don't think people take it as serious as they used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, what's the best way to say it? It's like hitting your wife and everyone saw it. You can't really say you didn't hit your wife. You know, and I know that's a little dirty, but that's the most direct way to say it, you know? Like, you can't just put the cat back in the box. I guess I should have said that. But, you know what right. I mean? Like, it's just unfortunate how, like, and it's not literally that, you know, but situations like that where it's in your face, you can't really look the other way and you see it, you know? You just, it lowers the value. It makes you think, oh, well, if this happens and this happens, I guess this happens. I guess it's not. You know, really, I guess it's not true. I guess it's not, you know, and now if people are bothering me, people have been messaging me and blowing me up, all my non-wrestling friends. They're asking me, they're like, what's going on now that WWE and UFC are put together? Like, what does that mean? I was like, it means nothing. It's still business as usual. We still had wrestlers in UFC like Brock Lesnar, and we've had UFC people like Ronda Rousey inside WWE. Like, nothing's changed, and that's kind of, I appreciate that in a sense. It's bringing more of the validity back into wrestling, especially with rumors of Ronda actually going back to UFC potentially.
Well, you know, that's all well and said, but you know, she's had some negative things to say about pro wrestling, even when she was on her little hiatus. That kind of rubbed some people sideways, you know, because you don't bite the hand that feeds you. You know what I mean? And she really said some things that kind of made you look at her like, you know, you get that look on your face when somebody says something stupid, and you're like, what did you just say?
Did you? Oh, I heard it this weekend. Tell me about it.
That's the look, you know, people gave when she came out and said what she said about the fans, you know, and it was, I hope that she has a better appreciation for wrestling, because she could benefit so much and become a legend in this business if she just allowed it to naturally happen. You know what I mean? And take it more serious. So yeah, I just, you know, I wish some wrestlers didn't didn't pull back the curtain the way they did. I mean, it's not saying that the wrestling fan is naive, but you know how hard it was to get into pro wrestling back in the day? I mean, it was extremely hard for guys to get into the business. Because it
was I've heard the stories.
Yeah, it was a true brotherhood, man, and it wasn't something that was taken lightly when people got into the business. And I have this feeling that nowadays guys get into the business and talk too much. You know what I mean?
They're too excited to be here, and they start telling everyone how excited they are to be here. And they start telling you, "Oh, I seen what Spider-Man looks like under the mask." I've heard it all, brother, and I 100% agree with where you're going with this. You know.
I just hope that we're able to bring a different brand of wrestling. I know we're going to bring a different brand of wrestling. We're going to be a hell of a lot stiffer than other people. And the guys are going to come. We're not all about high spots. So fans, if you're thinking about coming to a gymnastic show, I'm sorry. You might want to go to a real gymnastic competition. This is pro wrestling. And the guys are going to wrestle. And it's going to be physical, and you're going to cringe sometimes because these guys are going to be putting in work because that's their job, because that's what the business entails for them. So, you know, get ready for it because we're cinching everything up. You know, we're getting our website made so we can put all the content from the first show out there. As you can see, we're starting our podcast radio show so that we can start going after sponsors, because this is for real. Because this business needs guys that have a passion for the business, for the guys, you know, for their promotion. You know, our motto is that, you know, we partner with the wrestlers. You know, we want to help you get out there, and we want you to get out there as well. You know, we don't grow unless you grow. So we want to help the wrestlers grow. And with that being said, you know, hold them accountable. If you want this company to be successful, help us become successful. Because the one thing that we feel will be a success is when somebody if you got a tryout with AEW, if you got a tryout with WWE, if you got a tryout to go to the New Japan Dojo, that only happened because you put in the work here in the company. You know what I mean? You did what you had to do in order to get better, to move on from the company. I'm not trying to hold you here. That's not our job. You know, we don't have WWE's money. We don't have AEW's money. But what we do have is a passion to get guys out of here. Go travel the world so that you can say that that's what you did. But in the time that you're traveling the world, make sure you say PWA is what helped get me here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's our main goal. You know, I want to get you, Lance Bully, I don't know if you want to be a commentator. I don't know if you want to be a manager, but you deserve to be out there more doing what you love.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what the business is all about, bro. Helping each other out. And, you know, you bring a heel special part to the company. You know, you have a history that's funny. It's almost like Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette, he was a photographer down in Memphis, Tennessee. That's what he did. He took pictures down in Memphis. He was at the Coliseum every Monday taking pictures. You know, same thing that Paul Lee did.
Yeah, so, those are my two guys that I really do aspire to, you know, and maybe, you know, one day I can reach the heights again, you know, and I could reclaim the top of the world and maybe one day be commissioner of a company again and take it to the high glory. Right?
Easy, Lance.
Right?
Easy. Hey, you know what? Okay. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to hold you back, brother. First, you have to prove yourself before I give you the reins of being a commissioner, because I got to make sure that you are on the up and up. And you're not going to always side with the heels. Because like I said, you've got heel tendencies, brother. And I just don't
I am on the up and up. I can tell you right now, brother, it is Sunday. I went to church this morning, okay? There's no sinning going on. Okay? We're good. Trust me. I know my business place. I'm always just looking out for the best of everyone. Yeah, don't think about it too hard. I just threw it out in the air, you know. I'm left to prove my hard work and dedication to the craft. You know, whatever you need me for, I can start from the bottom. I've done ring gear before. I've brought back ring gear, you know. I've done commentating before. I've done ring announcing before. I've done photography before. I've managed matches before. Trust me, brother. I'm every piece you need and everything in between. So we can take our time and work slow. This doesn't have to be a fast burn.
You know, well, like I said, man, I need to make sure that if I put you in that seat of being a commissioner, that you are going to be upright, forthright commissioner, and that you are going to see everything down the middle, that you're not going to waver right or left, but everything's going to be down the middle, and you're not going to have any shadiness going on. And I have a feeling that if somebody that you like that happens to be a heel doesn't get the outcome that you think they should, that you're going to sway a little bit over on that side. And, brother, we just can't have that. We can't. So, like I said, you're going to have to prove to me that you could be a worthy and trustworthy commissioner before I give you the full reins of something like that. I'd have to talk to my brother about this one. We'd have to sit back and watch you and see what you do to see if you can be a commissioner. But for the time being, keep doing what you do, man. Whatever it is that's asked of you, just keep doing what you do. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Mr. Parks. And again, it feels good to be seen. It feels good for everyone to see me doing my work. So I don't mind if I have to be seen for a couple of shows or a couple months or a couple years, because I know my destiny. I'm on the right path. So whatever happens, happens. I'm very glad to be part of this company. I'm very proud to be part of the production. You know, even before we had our first show, we had our first little meet and greet. I got to talk to Venom on a personal level. I got to talk to Kayam on a personal level. I got to meet with you on a personal level. So things are going well. I'm in no rush. I'm not 60 strapped to a machine, you know what I mean? I still got plenty of time to learn, grow, and adapt to be an even better version of myself. Can you imagine that? Because it's really hard for me to tell myself that. Like, I can be a better version tomorrow, and I already feel like I'm a top dog. But that's enough about that. I got to humble myself. Thank you again for having me here.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm willing to do anything you need. I'm here for you. Don't mind me. I'm not already getting excited planning the next 6 months of my life. No, no, no. Taking a day at a time, just like my counselor told me.
There's nothing wrong with having confidence. And there's nothing wrong with believing that you're a top dog. But when you get put in those positions of being a top dog, you have to show that you can be a top dog. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna sit down with my guys, and we're gonna see what we can do. You know, Lance, we might have to let you get you some managing things going on. Maybe get you a stable. See if you can manage your stable and see how you manage your stable. You know, because see, that's where you're gonna have to, you know, make decisions, hard decisions, especially when you have guys in your stable that are studs, whether it be tag team or singles, that want a shot at either belt. And you might have two guys that are singles that are going after the same championship. I want to see what kind of decision-making process you have in seeing that these two guys get a shot. you know, are you going to put one to the side and go with the one you feel is better, or are you going to, you know, do it evenly and get both of them their fair shot when that time comes? So you see, I'm going to put you in situations, Lance, that those questions are going to have to be answered by you. And you're going to have to answer those questions, and we're going to be able – we're the ones that's going to say whether or not those answers are correct or not. So you keep doing what you do, and I promise
you,
I promise you, we'll put you in a position where you will be able to show us everything that you got. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I can't wait to be tested because I always study. I always have a cheat list too, you know, so – wherever the situation goes, I'll be right there, ready to face it.
Well, if you had to put a stable together, who would you and the independent guys out there right now, and the SoCal independents right now, who would you put together? What would be your perfect stable of guys?
Okay, let me just – I'm just naming off random people. Not random people, but, like, the top people off the top of my head. I got Chris Nasty over here. I got a little Luchador. And this is excluding my current faction, the Beast of War. So I don't know if anybody got upset that I didn't say Red Spider first.
Well, actually, before you answer that, tell me about this faction that you have.
Okay, let me tell you this. I am General Winters when I'm in manager mode. You know, General Winters, not Lance Winters, not Lance Bully, the general. I have a general mindset. I command the Beast of War. The Beasts of War are a three-man team that flies on the Freebirds rules. We can beat you in singles match. We can beat you in a tag match. We can beat you in a six, you know, three-on-three, six-man tag. It consists of the leader, the top dog, the shooter, the Rudo, Red Spider. Now, this man is one of the toughest, baddest sons of guns, been in the business for over 12 years. He's been from the East Coast. He's been from the West Coast. He's been down south. He's been up top. He's been everywhere in between. This guy has the nastiest spider bite you do not want to get bit by. He will throw you in the air, go for a cutter, and drop you neck first. Not even face first, neck first, because he wants to impale you. He wants you not to get up. He wants to show that he likes to cause pain. He doesn't want his opponents to call him safe. He doesn't want to see his opponents again. He's always trying to take people off the shelf. You should have seen it this weekend. Who else? Then you got to talk about the big, bad bodyguard. That's what I call him, because that man, whenever I'm in trouble, I can literally jump into his arms. And I'm talking about the Warhog of Hell. This man right here will court-martial anybody and burn them to cinders. Not only on my command, but on his own will. This man is 6'3", over 240 pounds, and that's all muscle, baby. That's all muscle. And when he's hotting and grunting in your face, you damn near pee yourself, man. This man is no joke. He reminds me of Michael Myers with a Warhawk mask on. Just the intimidating presence of a man. That, so I'm 6'1 already, so just imagine someone real tall than me with a lot bigger than me. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I got the mouth, he's got the body. Fuse us together with a perfect embodiment of destruction. But let's not forget, we have another member, the fourth and final piece to the puzzle. You can't forget about the Super Silver Tiger, ladies and gentlemen. Silver Tiger is another man who's been in the business. All three of these men have been in the business for over 10 years. They've all adopted high-quality Lucha Libre techniques, styles, that have not been utilized, you know, because I'm not, like, be honest with me, Mr. Parks. Lucha Libre you see is like the same cut and paste. I don't know how much Lucha Libre you've seen recently. But I've seen the same Lucha Libre matches start the same, end the way, same, with a little bit of spice in the middle. These three guys have unique styles of wrestling, unique psychology, and ways of breaking down their opponent through research. Not only through dominating force, not only with my interior intellect leading them through it, but their own technique to grind down the people, break down the bones, go for the weak spots, and pick them apart. As a collective force, the Beasts of War have no competition in all of Southern California. We're still waiting for competition, as I've said, in either solos, tags, or three-mans. We're here.
Hey, you know, you that's That's a pretty strong statement that you just made there, that, you know, you guys can't be beat. Anybody can be beat on any given day. So I'm thinking right now that in the near future, I'm going to have to see these guys live and in living color, as Dusty Rhodes would say, and put these guys on one of our shows and see for myself if you can lead them the way you say you can, and if they can wrestle the way that you say they can, and we'll go from there. So we're going to have to sit down. Boy, see, this radio show has brought out a whole lot. Lance, now, we're going to sit down and talk. We're going to sit down and talk.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, you know, you pretty much, in a way, put out a little challenge here to the PWA, talking about how good your guys are. So now I'm going to have to find three guys, either in singles or tag team or six-man, to see if we can't put an L, because it sounds like you guys want all the smoke. So I think I can find three guys that can put an L on your record and bring you back down to size just a little bit. Just to let you know, you're with the big dogs now. That's who you're running with. You're running with the big boys. So I think we might have to do this.
Out of all due respect, because I'm an emotional person, out of all due respect, because, you know, like I said, I love this business very much. But with all due respect, it doesn't matter who you put up in front of us. It doesn't matter what you throw up in front of us. We haven't lost a single damn match. The only time I've ever lost to is not a wrestler, not a stable, but to a freaking plastic table. That is the only weakness of the Beast of War. And once my neck has been fortified, there's going to be nothing stopping us, okay, Mr. Parks? So don't even think about coming up with who, them, that. Don't even bring no tables around, because we don't need any of that. Bring the best you got. I'm going to bring my new reinforced neck, and Beast of War will be permanently perfect, okay? I'll admit I was a weak link. I admit I had the flaws with my neck. Hell, I tried to go through a plastic table. Didn't go my way. I should have been an extra 20 pounds. That's what everyone tells me. My neck almost snapped like a pencil. But now, with this reinforced neck, Beast of War have no weakness. Feel free to bring three people. Bring four people. Bring six people. The Beast of War accept the challenge, Mr. Parks. Now, all due respect, we're still friends. I'm still happy you have me here. I'm starting to calm down. Let me take a deep breath. Let me breathe. Let me get back, because I forgot, you know, this is the guy I'm kind of working for, you know. So, yes, Mr. Parks, I'm very honored that you know, going to give me a challenge and stuff. I'm sorry. Ooh, man. You ever get that hot-headed feeling in your head? You got to sit down for a second. That's why we need to sit down and talk, Mr. Parks, because sometimes I'll be talking out of pocket, and I apologize. You know, I don't mean after stuff I say. I'm just very impassioned, you know?
I understand. But, you know, what I don't want is for you to talk your way into a match that you guys have no way of winning. Because I think I can find some people that you look across the ring from, you're going to be like, what in the hell did I get ourselves into? What did I get us into? I should have never said all those things. Hey, guys, forgive me. Forgive me for putting us in this situation. But I'm going to give you that chance. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to give you that opportunity, Lance. You say you can't be beat? Okay. You know what? The challenge has been thrown down. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Now I'm going to have to find three guys, possibly four.
And I'm not even going to tell you anymore, because I'm going to tell you my top three, my top four team. Nah, forget about it. Nah, this last 5 minutes, I'm going to have to sign out. Sign out for this segment. I'm not. You didn't hear Chris Nash. You didn't hear any other names that I said. Don't worry about nothing, okay? Because you have to do your own homework. I got to do my own homework and listen to idiots. You got to do your own homework and find people to beat the Beast of War who can't even come close. Because I tell you, no one can.
Well, Lance, we're just going to have to find out, brother. We're going to have to find out. And if you do happen to beat the guys that I bring, you know what? Then you kept your word. Your word, because that's all you got is your word. Your word is your bond. And if
yes, sir.
Right
I very
here,
much believe in that.
If you say right here, right now, that whoever I bring to the table to go up against you and your boys, you can defeat. And if you can do that on that night, then you'll have my respect, Lance. Not that I don't respect you now, but you'll get even more respect because you kept your word. You kept your word. So we're gonna have to sit down, and we're gonna have to draw something up, and it's gonna have to be done because you're very passionate about your boys. You're very passionate about what you bring with these guys, and I have to find out for myself if this is true. Is this live or is this Memorex? We're going to have to find out.
I like that.
Brother. Yeah, we're going to have to find out. You know.
Well, first we got to get through Pacific Wrestling Alliance, our first next show, Friday, August 18th. So I'm going to focus my attention and energy to that. I'm going to reshift my feelings into that because I don't want to put too much into it. I don't want to be showing up to the 18th all hyped to looking for the three people, you know what I'm saying? I gotta cool off a little bit, stay focused on the 18th before I figure out my next step. Because if we're going to work, I gotta keep it cool, you know. I gotta make it to the 18th. I can't be fired before I can retire. You know what I'm saying?
By no means will I fire you, Lance. I won't fire you at all. I'm just gonna put it out there. You know, your time is gonna come where you have to put up or shut up. And we're going to find out, brother. We're going to find out, you know.
Well, just like everybody listening tonight, we can't wait to find out.
Nah, hey, you know, it might be a month away, it might be 2 months away, but it's coming. It's coming. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. We will see you. We will see your guys in the PWA ring. So with that said, Lance, you know, we've gone almost an hour now, and we've been talking about a whole lot of stuff. And I truly appreciate you coming on tonight and doing the show with me. And for those of you that are out there, guess what? He ain't going nowhere because he's going to be a part of this show while this show is on. Lance the Bully is going to be on with me. We're going to do this show, and this show is going to turn in. It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up because you got somebody on the other end of this telephone that is passionate about the business, that loves the business. If you can't tell by now, you haven't been listening. He's a heel at heart. He might be a good guy that goes to church, but he's a heel at heart, and there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. We are going to be the Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan of podcasting. It'll be Lance the Bully and Big Mike of PWA's Scoop Slam Radio. That's what we're going to do. So, with that being said, folks, keep your eyes open. I'm going to be got a meeting coming up with Al from Meet and Vito's about us being down there at the end of the month. I'm not going to give the date out yet because I have to solidify that with him. But once we get the date set, we're going to be down there at Meet and Vito's like we were back in May. And I'll tell you what, Lance, you can tell everybody too. That was a wonderful time. We had a great time out there with the people and just being able to sit there and talk pro wrestling. You know, it was a fun time. It was a fun time, and I can't wait to do it again. How about you, Lance?
Yes, I love the experience from, you know, just even talking to Al himself and hanging out with the family to trying out some meats to sitting down with Kayam and yourself, you know. It was a very blessed experience. It's one of those things I thought was only going to happen once in your lifetime, so apparently it's going to happen again. So I'm going to be there again, God willing, you know, and I want to provide that same entertainment. I want to talk to the fans. I want to talk to the wrestlers. I want to have another taco session with somebody, you know. The food from Meat and Vino's is great. I got to pick up a slab on my way out next time. So, Meat and Vino, I can't wait till you verify that date.
and for those that are listening, I got to tell you, they had tacos that day. They were giving out free tacos. And Lance went over and he picked up a couple tacos and he came back. And it was his idea to film this taco tasting. And the response that we got from that idea that Lance had of doing this taco tasting was phenomenal. Everybody loved that. And it was just out of the blue. He went, he got the tacos, came back to the table, sat down, and the next thing I know, I look over, and he's videotaping. And he was videotaping the taco tasting that turned into a very, very well-seen video. So, Lance, I can't wait to do that again, because I can't wait to see your creativity in real time. I mean, that was just off the cuff, wasn't it, man?
Yes, sir. Like I said, back in high school and college, my main interest was photography, videography. And something I picked up is always capture the moments. You don't know how big they're going to be, you know? You don't know how, like, yeah, there could be small moments of me just eating a taco with Vayna, but at the same time, it could be as big as me and Vayna having a 20-minute conversation about these tacos, man, and about theology and all the stuff we went into, like, and if I didn't get that recorded, we would never have that such a response, that high volume of people interacting with the video. So thank you. I couldn't have done it without, you know, I can't talk to myself on videos. So I have to give it up to Vayna as well for being my host on that little special. And I'd love to do some more stuff with that. I'd love to.
Hey, well, you know, we're going to have some future projects and you're going to be involved in them. You know, I told you at the beginning, you're going to be involved with PWA. And so we're going to find a way to start putting you in there so we could start utilizing your creativity and helping you to get out there. So maybe one day be like, you know what? I'm not just going to San Francisco. Hey man, I've been asked to come down to Texas. You know, I'm going to the Midwest for a couple of weeks to go do some shows out there. And to me, that would be a feather in both of our hats, mostly in yours, because it was all the hard work that you will have put in that, like you said at the beginning of this show, people watching, people seeing you, because you never know who's watching you. And all it takes is that one person to see what you're doing and be like, you know what? I like what this dude does. Let's see if we can get him down there in Texas for Reality of Wrestling. You know, go down there. I think that would be amazing if you were be able to go down there and manage or do anything with Booker T and his organization out there in Texas. You know what I mean?
Oh man, so, that'd be a dream.
Yeah. So you know, it could be reality. It could truly be reality. But you know, we gotta put forth the foundation here. And, you know, help you. Let's do the Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. And
yes.
So you can get out there and follow your dreams, bro. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what will make me happy is to see you succeed. You know, the success will come my way, you know, in the long run. But to see you become successful, to see you and the wrestlers become successful, you know, that's one of the reasons why we get into this business, you know, to see that you guys become successful. And, you know, we're gonna do the best that we possibly can to do that. So get ready. Get ready.
Thank you for the opportunity, man. I'm ready. I'm not going to waste this opportunity. I'm pumped up again. I can go a whole another hour right now talking about how pumped up I am for all these opportunities, man. And what all these things I have so many ideas and so many plans. Oh, my goodness. You don't know what you've done. You just pulled the genie out of the bottle.
Hey, what I did was what should have been done a while ago. I sparked that fire.
Yes, sir. Now I'm running.
I lit the flame. Now, let that flame burn, brother. Let that flame burn. So I'm excited to work with you. I'm excited for what you have in store for the company, for the business, for your stable. I'm hoping that you can keep your word, brother, and being the general that you say you are. because you're going to have to prove it in due time. You're going to have to prove it. So I want you to focus on that and get ready for that, because you're going to have to come with it.
Yes, sir. You don't got to tell me twice. I'll be ready for that action whenever it comes at us.
So with that being said, for Bully Lance, I am Big Mike, and you have been listening to Scoop Slam Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. We will see you next time for our kickoff show, where it's going to be Lance the Bully, myself, and another co-host. I'm not going to say who it is. It's going to be a surprise. But when he comes on, let me tell you, it's going to be a three-way cage match, because it's going to be on fire. So we'll see you guys later when we come back with our show. You guys have a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Brother Lance?
Yes, sir.
It's been a privilege, my man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
You got it. I'm already zoned out thinking about my next victory, so...
Hey,
hope you have a great week, sir.
Write it down on paper, man. That's all you got to do. Write it down on paper and look at it every day, and it will manifest itself. You have a wonderful week, and we'll be in contact, all right?
Sounds good, boss. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.